A Spanish priest has died of Ebola after he was airlifted to Madrid from the Liberian hospital where he contracted the illness. He received experimental drugs, and today the World Health Organization is saying the use of experimental drugs in West Africa is ethical. But is enough being done? For that, we turn to Robert Gary, an assistant professor of microbiology and immunology at Tulane University. Tulane researchers have been working at a hospital in Sierra Leone, where a high-profile doctor recently caught the virus and died. Robert, Dr. Gary, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
And we came across you as we were looking for people who'd work with Dr. Sheikh Umar Khan, who died last month from Ebola. And this is after spending months frantically trying to save other people from it and also writing to friends and former medical school classmates back in the U.S., asking them to help and give supplies. We understand you've worked with him. Tell us more about him.
Well, I actually have worked with Dr. Khan for about a decade at Kenema Government Hospital in Sierra Leone. We were working on a disease called Lassa fever, which is very similar to Ebola hemorrhagic fever. This Ebola came to us in our research center there working on Lassa fever.
Yeah.
And Dr. Khan was, of course, the director of the program, the Sierra Leonean that was in charge of the hospital and the laboratory in Kenema where we worked.
Well, you were all doing this terrific work, but Dr. Khan succumbed, and he knew he might. Did you talk about that?
Well, I mean, I was there shortly after that first case was diagnosed in Guinea, and then I came again within a day or two after the first case had been diagnosed at our Kenema lab there in Sierra Leone. So Dr. Khan was well aware of the risk of working with both Lassa fever and Ebola fever. So the fact that he managed to get infected is a great tragedy.
Yeah.
Tragedy.
Sierra Leone's health minister is calling him a national hero. But I'm wondering if you're thinking it could have been any of you working there.
Everybody's at risk. I have colleagues now that are from Tulane University that have gone over to help with the management of the patients at Kenema. And I'm very concerned about those people.
Let's start listing those concerns. First of all, we mentioned that Dr. Khan was sending out emails to colleagues with a spreadsheet that listed what he needed. It seemed like everything.
We had supplies to treat Lassa fever patients. You treat the diseases a little bit different, so it's important to know, you know, if you have one disease or the other. They look quite a bit similar in their presentations. But with Ebola, you basically need to treat the symptoms. You need to keep the patients hydrated. You need to give them antibiotics to make sure they don't come down with secondary infections because the virus does suppress the immune system. Ebola spreads a lot easier than Lassa does. So the fear was, Dr. Khan's fear, and of course a lot of people that were there when this first started, was that this would spread widely and we'd have a lot of patients to deal with. Unfortunately, that's what's happened.
One of your colleagues, is it Daniel Bausch, who's also at Tulane, is quoted saying, it's not unusual to be in a hospital in Sierra Leone or Guinea and say, I need gloves, and have someone say, we don't have gloves.
There's always supply shortages. You can't call up Sigma, that's a big scientific supply house in St. Louis, and have them overnighted to you. It's a lot more difficult to get the supplies into Sierra Leone. For the most part, we bring in big crates, so we sometimes we'll come in with 30 or 40 large crates, 50 pounds apiece, on the planes.
Well, we have been reading recently about Kenema, where you were. Again, in eastern Sierra Leone, the roads are closed. It sounds hellish, frankly. Hospitals empty because people have started to think of them as death traps. How are people like you, who have done work for so long in these areas, what are you and your colleagues talking about, you know, as far as going back or working there?
Well, I mean, we're going there. I mean, people are coming and going back and forth. My colleagues from CDC are going there in great numbers, and many of them have been in, you know, a rotation or coming back, and, you know, people will keep going there. I'm not a physician, so I don't work with the patients directly, but the physicians that do work with them, you know, describe it as a, you know, very stressful situation. You have to constantly be on your toes. And unfortunately, what I'm hearing is that there aren't as many nurses as needed. In fact, there's a very great shortage. So one doctor, two or three doctors may be working on 50 Ebola patients, mostly by themselves, only a few hands to help. That's a very dangerous situation.
How chilling was it that a leading doctor in the area, Dr. Khan, himself becomes a victim?
Well, it's a wake-up call for sure. Healthcare workers are at the greatest risk. So about 10% of the victims so far, by some calculations, have been healthcare workers. We need to really think about how we can protect these people.
And what more? I mean, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, we should be getting them a vaccination. I mean, that's the easiest thing that would protect them. We have experimental vaccines that have shown great promise in animals. We need to basically get out of our way in terms of the regulatory and ethical aspects of it and get these vaccines into people, primarily the healthcare workers to start.
Well, we've talked about this when it regards a cure as well. There are experimental serums that we know are now being used. But the problem with this kind of a crisis is that it wanes for so long, so that it's hard to get the funding, it's hard to get people motivated, and then suddenly when you need it, it's too late. Do you think that this, you say it's a wake-up call, will it be a wake-up call for pushing things like vaccines into research and production?
Yes, I think it will be. I mean, this is the biggest outbreak in history with the most deaths and the widest geographic distribution, and it's far from over. In terms of the medications, I think it is important to prepare probably for the next outbreak and to be ready. I don't want to come back the next time this disease comes out in West Africa or Central Africa and saying, oh, well, we should have set up protocols, we should have the drug in place. I mean, that's been happening in a cycle over and over again, and so we need to break that cycle. And now, having said that, I mean, the drugs are not going to stop this outbreak. What we need to do is to figure out how to basically find all the patients, find all their contacts, and then make sure they don't spread the disease.
Given all of that, again, what did we lose in the death of Dr. Khan?
Well, we lost a tremendous human being who was very dedicated to his patients and to finding ways to address the threat of these agents like Lassa fever, but with his death, Ebola as well. He was a great teacher. He was very committed to training young African scientists. In fact, the last trip I took with him was to Nigeria, where we were setting up the initial meeting of a West African consortium to train young scientists in the genetics of infectious diseases. It was a program that was very near and dear to his heart, and we need to carry that legacy forward to get these young African scientists trained to do this kind of work.
And he was a colleague that you'd worked with for 10 years. So we are sorry for your loss, and from what we're hearing, a loss for all of us. Robert Gary, professor of microbiology and immunology at Tulane University School of Medicine, thank you.
Thank you.